Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
Thanks for joining us on Primetime. Bharati Jagdish and Timothy Go with you. Now, knowing how to ask for a pay rise, it can be a rather awkward thing, right, to navigate, even more so as employers have shown wage restraint in the last 2 years of disruption and workers have had to accept wage cuts or freezes in return for job security.
But in the light of the great resignation and the great rotation trend we are seeing and the economy on the mend, or maybe it's not yet on the mend, is it time to start having an honest discussion with your employers? According to a recent report, workers here in Singapore have high expectations of being given a pay rise as cost of living increase amid a sharp labor crunch.
Yep, and globally, in fact, more than three quarters of workers say they are likely to ask for a pay rise if they feel they deserve one. This according to a survey by human resources services company ADP. If you want to see the full report, it's called the People at Work Report. Okay, so 6 in 10 workers in Singapore prepared to ask for a raise. I think that's quite daring, depending on which industry you're in, of course. Mm-hmm. Adrian Chu joins us now. He is CEO of Career Agility International. Hi, Adrian.
Hi, Bharati. Hi, team. How's everyone?
We need a pay raise too, Adrian. So how do we start negotiating this pay raise? And is it really the right time now?
I'm worth $1 million, so please give it to me.
I hope your bosses are tuning in right now. So, it's always good to ask for a pay raise, especially in the past 2 years, looking at depressed salaries, and you're exactly right, in exchange for job security, right? But right now, the demand has gone up. Companies are out on the hunt for good talents, because a lot of the companies are looking at increasing their market share and getting back into business. So they need good people. And what better way to get good people than to pay more, right?
Yeah, but of course, you have to be one of those good people in order to actually have the guts to go and ask for a pay raise, right? Not just anybody and everybody should step up and say, hey, boss, pay me more, right? You've got to be also in an industry where talent is scarce and the talents and skills you have are of actual value, right?
Yeah, that's true. And right now, there are certain particular sectors where the demand crunch is really, really acute. For instance, in technology, you know, we are seeing companies that are hiring aggressively, and we're also seeing very aggressive poaching as well from companies wanting to get talents from other people. And so it's a huge game out there right now where it's a musical chairs, and it's getting really, really crazy, in fact.
So talent will go to who can pay them more for what they think they're worth.
Right now, it seems that way. And I think, it's obviously not sustainable, because if you keep getting salary increments after a while, you might actually price yourself out of the market.
That's right.
But right now, as it stands, you know, the demand is there. Because if you're looking at, like, for instance, companies are getting very aggressive. Microsoft, early this week, they made an announcement that they're going to double their salary budgets for everybody this year, mm-hmm. to hire more people, to improve their stock options and everything, just to retain talent and to attract the best talent in the market. They're very aggressive.
Yeah, you see, those are companies with all the funds in the world. What about the ones who have issues with cost pressures, business continuity? Because employers also have to reconcile higher wages with business continuity, right?
Yeah, that's true. You know, salaries can't be increased ad infinitum, right? So there'll be a limit at which salary goes beyond the limit of which the value the employee can bring. But so that's why some companies are actually going beyond the salary, beyond just money, and providing perks like, hey, you can work from home 5 days a week if you want to. Some companies are even giving staff options like flexible locations where you can go to Australia, you can work from Australia, or even some companies that we know of are providing perks like career coaching services for their staff.
Okay, so apart from all these perks and flexibility, because we've already identified, I think early on, that this hybrid flexibility is a good way to retain talent. So you have salaries, flexibility to retain talent. But what else is there? Especially for the industries that you mentioned, for the tech industry, even for the F&B, where there's a major labor crunch. Yeah. What else can we do to attract these talents if we can't offer more money?
Well, I think different companies will have different approaches. Some companies are resorting to increasing salaries, like what we said earlier, you know, but having a good work environment, having a good boss, good training, and good welfare, you know, and just being a good being a good employer sometimes helps. But at the end of the day, it's still about the money, right?
Yeah, the money is important to some extent. I think some surveys have shown that people put a huge store on money, yet there are others that show it's the other stuff that's more important. For instance, company culture and so on, which is why a lot of employers are now on an employer branding blitz, right? They're all trying to sell themselves to top talent. The thing is, workers here in Singapore also have to take into account the fact that the world has opened up and companies in Singapore have access to remote workers across borders who might be a lot cheaper than us, right? And just as talented.
If not more, right? So that's why there is a ceiling towards which they can ask for a salary increase. So at a point, there is the bosses are just going to say, look, if the local talents here are asking for that much money, I think we'll either have to import the talents, or if we can't, then we'll have to outsource it to a country where it can be done cheaper and maybe even better. So we have to be realistic. And it's not every industry and every sector that's getting all this good demand coming, you know. Some aren't. Some are still struggling. So it's situational.
Because, you know, Adrian, and for those of us listening right now, apart from the labor crunch and the salary challenges that many small and medium enterprises are facing, we also have cost pressures with our supply, with everything else that we need to run a business. So what should take note of before they go in and approach their boss about a salary increase?
Well, if you are planning to ask for a salary increase, I think timing is important. If your company is having a great quarter, then that's probably a good time to start thinking about asking your bosses for a raise. I mean, if the company is losing money and things are not going well, obviously it's not going to happen. But look for when's a good time to ask for it. We always recommend to our clients that you have to build a business case for asking a raise.
Right.
Show how much value you bring, how much revenue you've brought in the past year, you know, and show them that, hey, you know, I've been actively contributing, and for the past 2 years there's not been a salary raise, and how can you make things A, easier for me, but B, you know, to bring me more to parity to the market.
I'm sure there will be compromises that people have to be prepared to make as well, right? Do you have any examples of people who have successfully asked for a raise, even at a time when the company may have a tight budget? I mean, you don't have to mention names, but just give us the scenario.
So, Johnny Lim. No, just kidding.
Adrian Chu.
So, I think one of the ways is if your company is not doing that well, okay, or if just doing well enough, one way to ask for a raise is to ask, okay, I don't mind taking on this other portfolio because this person has gone on maternity leave or the other person has left and there's no backfill. Now, I don't mind enhancing my portfolio, doing a bit more, but, you know, getting a raise in return for that. So you're not asking something for nothing, but this could be a bit of a quid pro quo. So as a result, you actually end up doing a bit more work and getting paid a bit more. But to the employer, that's a lot easier than just giving you a 20% increase for nothing, right?
But that's not a real raise, is it? I'm doing more work. A raise is when I get more money for doing the same work, but because I'm so much better at everyone else at doing it, right? So
I think as a starting point, that is when, as I said earlier, if a company isn't doing that fantastically, you may want to negotiate something along those lines. But if your company is making in the big bucks, you know, and you see the bosses are giving themselves raise and bonuses, then you should be asking for something in return.
That's a good point you brought up. As a boss, I would want to hear if somebody is asking me for a raise, that tell me what I'm getting for giving you a little bit more. You have to give me a little bit more as well, because I would think that, you know, through the years you've been working with me, you have also developed some skills that would be helpful in running my business.
That's true. So the big question, you know, we need to ask is this, is a salary increment an entitlement, or is it something you have to earn? If it's an entitlement, means I don't care. I've been here for the past year. I demand to have an increase, which a lot of bosses may not take too kindly to.
Attitude.
But if you show them that, no, in the past year, I've actually brought you $3 million. So let's see how can we, you know, in the next year, I'll bring in another $5 million.
Mm.
So, you know, how do we make things more reasonable and more equitable?
According to the ADP survey, Adrian, a lot of people are saying that I need the money to compensate me for my trouble during the pandemic, where I worked overtime and I was here for you. Now, nothing wrong with that, right? It's sort of a retroactive look at my contributions and rewarding me now when times are better.
Yeah, that's true. But the reality also is that if there are other employers out there who's willing to pay you more money for your work, you know, and therefore you can get up and walk across the street and join a competitor, your bosses have to take note and have to pay you fairly to what the market is paying rather than what he feels you're worth. He has to get real as well.
So, Adrian, out of all of this that we talked about this evening, is there a danger, though? How far can an employee push for a raise?
I think it's as long as the numbers are reasonable. And one of the things is you also need to know what your value is to your market value is with regards to what you could possibly get outside your company.
Right.
So you need to know what your market rates are. One of the best ways is to talk to the next headhunter that calls you up. You know, ask them, hey, you know, what's is my salary on par with the market for this similar industry, similar level of seniority and similar job portfolio? And if he says, the market rate is actually 20% up. And if you get if you calibrate the data with a few more headhunters, then you know you're underpaid. Then maybe that's a basis on which you can ask for more money. Because that's what, otherwise you're going to join another company as well, and your boss is going to end up hiring someone 20% more expensive than you.
What's your advice to employers, though? Employers who might be facing all of those cost pressures but want to at least show recognition for talent in order to be able to attract some of the best talent. It's hard to attract, I guess, the top tier if you don't have the funds. But what can you do if you have a limited capacity to do so to still get the best in?
I think giving a good work environment, sometimes it's not about the money. Sometimes it's about the work-life balance. Sometimes the training that you're going to provide, you know, so you can provide the softer elements of it other than money and promise them a good career pathway in the organization. And the other things that are non-monetary based, I think that could help because not everyone has Microsoft's budget.
Exactly. Adrian, because you mentioned development, right? I'm just wondering, in your experience, to what extent do you find companies are not that willing to develop their existing staff? Because sometimes what you can do, if you're short of funds, is to just train your existing staff better and develop them better to avoid just throwing money at attempts to attract new people into the organization. To what extent do you think that is an area that is possibly being neglected?
Yeah, in fact, not just for the organization, but the government has been very good and very helpful in offering Skills Future grants and everything. So I agree with you. I think the companies should look at tapping into these additional grants for training their staff. And these are really generous grants. So, and you know, the other way to look at it is if you train a person to do more than what he is right now, right, he becomes more efficient. You don't have to hire another person. So productivity increases. So it's a win-win.
And then there's work-life balance issue, which is for another day. Thank you very much, yes, Adrian, for sharing that with us. And hopefully people are taking notes just like I am. Adrian Ju is a CEO of Career Agility International. We've been talking about the perfect timing to ask for a raise.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.